This is Jody Peterson with the KVNF Regional Newscast. Monday through Friday, we'll air a fresh newscast in the evening at 5:50 p.m., replay it the next morning at 8, then have another brand new newscast in the evening. If you have suggestions, comments, or story tips, we'd love to hear from you. Email news@kvnf.org or call 866-KVNF-NOW. It looks like we're heading into another hot and dry summer on the western slope as temperatures rise and snowpack dwindles quickly. Overall, precipitation has been well below normal since last fall. Most of western and southern Colorado saw the driest or one of the driest Aprils on record, according to the Climate Center at Colorado State University. For example, in April, Grand Junction normally gets 0.9 inches of precipitation, but this year in April received just 0.2 inches. In mid-April, snowpack across the state was sitting just below average, but the heat wave of late April and early May has melted off a lot of the snow that would normally linger on into summer and provide a long-lasting source of water. The upper Colorado River Basin is still doing well with 90% of normal snowpack, but the Gunnison Basin is sitting at just 60% of median. River basins in far southwest Colorado are at about half of normal, and the upper Rio Grande is at 1/3 of median snowpack. Water supply forecasts are plummeting, and stream flows are expected to be much lower than average. Soils were already abnormally dry going into winter, which means that they'll soak up the melting snow rather than letting it trickle into waterways. Reservoirs are also below normal. As of April 20th, Paonia Reservoir was 68% full, Blue Mesa 62%, Ridgeway 82%, and Silverjack was sitting at just 18%. Moderate to severe drought conditions are forecasted to continue across the western slope. Mesa County and surrounding areas are in moderate drought, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor, while most of the rest of the KVNF listening area, including Delta, Eastern Montrose, Ouray, and Eastern San Miguel counties, are considered to be in severe drought. Wednesday, May 6th, was supposed to be the last day of Colorado's legislative session. But as KVNF's Scott Franz reports, instead of celebrating, lawmakers are trying to figure out how to balance a budget that has been devastated by COVID-19.
A committee of six lawmakers is spending the week weighing in on more than $1 billion in cuts. They range from abandoning raises for state employees to pulling the funding for a new state park near Trinidad. But the full scope of the virus's impact on the budget will not be known until a new revenue forecast comes out next week. Julie McCluskey is one of the lawmakers working on proposed cuts.
I find that I'm grieving every time I turn a page in any of our documents.
Lawmakers say many residents will be affected after money is pulled from education, transportation, and healthcare programs. The entire legislature is scheduled to come back on May 18th to finish work on the budget. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife took a big step toward conserving habitat and migration corridors for mule deer, elk, pronghorn, bighorn sheep, and moose on Tuesday, May 5th. Sportsmen and women say the agency's 2020 status report will be an important resource to improve conservation of big game statewide. From the Colorado News Connection, Eric Galatis has the story.
On Tuesday, Colorado Parks and Wildlife released its 2020 status report on big game winter range and migration corridors. The report marks a big step in Governor Jared Polis's 2019 executive order to conserve critical wildlife habitat. Madeline West with the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership says this is the first time the agency has compiled a comprehensive assessment of big game seasonal range and migration habitat science in one place.
We can take a statewide look at migration and try to identify those priority areas where you'll get the biggest bang for your buck if you are trying to improve the habitat and if you're trying to reduce threats.
West says the report lays out the best available science and ongoing research on Colorado's migratory big game populations, including mule deer, elk, pronghorn, bighorn, sheep, and moose. The report also touches on the biggest challenges for wildlife, including habitat fragmentation due to oil and gas development. West says the report lays a good foundation for tackling those challenges, including reducing vehicle collisions with strategically placed wildlife crossings. She adds the report also shows that it's possible to continue to extract oil and gas and help big game succeed at the same time if done the right way.
Because the science shows that at a certain level of development, the animals can still move through. But when you pass that density threshold of one pad per square mile, it really starts to impede the movement of the herd.
The recommendations set the stage for the next phase of the governor's executive order. By July 1st, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is expected to deliver a report that includes actions needed at the policy level to conserve big game species and their habitat. Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
In Colorado, nearly 360,000 people have filed for unemployment insurance since the COVID-19 health emergency has shuttered much of the economy. And with families stuck at home, including children receiving online instructions via electronic screens, many Colorado families are struggling to pay rising monthly utility bills. Eric Galatis reports for the Colorado News Connection.
Since the coronavirus pandemic forced much of the U.S. economy into a medically induced coma, 30 million Americans have filed for unemployment insurance, including more than 350,000 in Colorado. Utility companies have agreed to suspend service shutoffs, but they are still sending bills and expecting payments. Denise Steptoe with Energy Outreach Colorado says for many Coloradans, it's the first time they haven't been able to cover all their monthly expenses.
If you are struggling to pay your rent, you are then struggling to afford or find food and afford food. The third thing we hear is that people then start to think about their utility bill. I don't know how much money's left at the end of all of that.
Steptoe says people should pay whatever they can now to avoid possible balloon payments when shutoffs resume. And she says it's also a good idea to reach out to your utility provider to create a payment plan. Her group has also sent out postcards with tips for conserving energy, which can be a challenge as kids tap laptops for homeschooling and game consoles while stuck at home. Conservation is no stranger to older Coloradans whose parents lived through the Great Depression, but it can be a new concept for younger generations. Steptoe says common sense steps can make a big difference. Use cold water whenever possible to avoid fueling the water heater, and hang clothes outside to dry if possible. Lower the thermostat and put on a sweater during spring's cold snaps, and shut blinds as summer nears.
I think in these times where we feel like everything is out of our control, this is something where we can actually take control. Look at your bill and watch it going down.
Assistance through the federal low-income energy assistance program meant to help families with high winter bills has been extended from April to August. Families needing help can also sign up through Energy Outreach Colorado's Bill Payment Assistance Program, which can now offer two grants in 2020. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Jody Peterson, and thanks for tuning in.